Hello and welcome to Box Set Binge the Bible from Seven Vineyard, the podcast where we are going through the Bible, listening through in a year. My name is Bern Lecky. I'm joined today by Owen Lynch.
Hello, Bern. Hello, everyone.
Last time, if you remember, we had just had Easter when we were recording, and we'd been spending time with Jesus in Mark's Gospel. It was glorious, wasn't it? Really nice.
It was. It was great.
Now, what we've then done is turned a bit of a sharp corner back into the Old Testament, into one of the most intriguing, interesting, some would say difficult books of the Bible, the Book of Job. It's actually one of my favourites, though. what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually one of the least Israelite books of the Bible, because it doesn't actually involve Israelites or Jews, which of course the rest of the Bible does. It's actually something that really seems to stand apart from the sort of heritage and history of the Jewish nation. And so, yeah, I find it really interesting.
That is a very interesting observation. I was reading around and seeing what else is this like. If it's not like most of the rest of the Bible, is this like something else? And it is. There's a whole bunch of stories in the cultures that surrounded Israel that are very, very similar to this. Maybe the oldest one was called Man and His God from Sumeria. And that involved a man who was very ignorant about a lot of things. He had no sense of like what he'd done wrong, but he ended up being ill and outcast socially, and he's crying to the gods with this very painful lament. And what happens is those cries, those tears, get accepted as prayer, and the gods restore him to health, and then he's back praising the gods again. The story is about mercy. It's about a transaction, essentially. If you're suffering enough, you can go to the gods and they will give you mercy because they can't stand to see you suffering that much. It's a transactional story. And one of the things that I think is very interesting in how stories from other cultures end up in sort of different versions of the Bible is you get to see how Israel was different from the other cultures. So we saw that in Genesis, what happened after the flood, and in other flood stories, people learn the lesson that they shouldn't annoy the gods, they shouldn't anger the gods, because otherwise the gods would do that again. And in Israel's story, the twist is that God promises he won't ever do that again. Here comes the rainbow. Woo! That's the amazing twist. There are, I think, a couple of twists, actually. The couple of differences between the story of Job and Man and His God and similar types of stories. But I'm just, before we get to those, how does that strike you? Does that strike you as like this might be an interesting way to go?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I think that, you know, we need to always see the Bible in its context. The problem is that our evangelical Christian tradition has largely removed the Bible from other contexts. So actually that means that it's very difficult for us who are unfamiliar, and maybe some people listening to this will be like me. They're not familiar with many of the other ancient cultures and texts that surround this kind of era of writing that we find in the Bible. So actually, it's really helpful to hear that, Bern, and to go, oh, okay, yeah, there is a context to this. It's not something we just take out of context, you know, when you're reading it over your breakfast, for instance, you know?
But no, you're right. But I think there's something about the Book of Job that has intrigued people for centuries, and people bring their own contexts to it. When I was looking around to see how people make sense of it, it struck me it's almost like a mirror. It's like whatever you are bringing to it, you see some sort of reflection of yourself and your circumstances, your context, your questions. You see them back in it. There's a lot in there about life in general, enough to be able to kind of relate to things in there and go, yes, I think I can see something in here. But then the question is, what's the purpose? What's it for? So I guess before we dive into that, let's just check that I've got my understanding here. And just in case you're listening and you haven't yet gone into the Book of Job, in a nutshell, this is the story as I understand it. Job is a good man. He's suffering for reasons that he can't explain. He doesn't blame God. His friends come along and they blame him. and they insist that good people don't suffer, that he ought to know this, and so he should repent of whatever it is that he's done wrong. Well, Job doesn't agree, and he sinks into this sort of mixture of lament and confusion and anger and depression, and which is this painful laments and prayers that he's bringing to God, like in these other stories. And in the end, in this story, God shows up and he doesn't feel sorry for Job. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to heal you because I think you're in a terrible situation. And he doesn't answer any why questions either about, you know, why does this happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there suffering in the world that I can't explain? But he shows up, God shows up with a lot of what. He shows what creation is. He shows things that Job knew nothing about. He asks questions that Job can't answer with his wisdom. And Job responds by praising God. And then he's blessed. Something gets restored in that. And that strikes me as very different, not just from the story, the man is God story, which is a transaction about in terms of pleading for mercy. This is different from the rest of the Bible, I think, depending on how we read the Bible. It's almost like a parody of the Bible, especially if we think that we can read the Bible in a way that explains why things happen. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does.
I think that, as you say, the difficulty, the evangelical difficulty with reading Job is that after the Enlightenment, theologians were very keen to believe that the Bible works as a rule book that could explain things, that you could mine the Bible as a source to answer lots and lots of why questions. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And in that sense, the story of Job is just infuriating and it's nonsense. These friends come along with all the rules. They're quoting all the rules that are very clear. You know, it says in the Bible, God blesses believers. God loves people who keep his decrees. And God punishes wrongdoers. That all seemed like natural justice. That seemed like them's the rules. And yet, I think the big twist in Job is that isn't where the wisdom is. How amazing, but also how confusing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that we're children of our culture. And I think, you know, as you and I sit here, we're British people, as you said, children of the Enlightenment, this period of scientific enlightenment, what was that, 17th, 18th century, the reaction of the evangelical church that we're, you know, we would involve ourselves with has kind of been to double down, if you like, on the Bible as a source of authority and wisdom in our lives. And that's a tradition that we've inherited to some extent by our involvement with what you might call the charismatic evangelical church. And I think for me, as a pastor of a church, of a charismatic evangelical church called a Vineyard Church, that I've come across in 25 years of doing this, loads of Christians who are basically deeply indoctrinated in that system of thought. And that system of thought is... strongly discourages questioning and critical thinking and prefers to see the world in black and white terms and uses words like liberalism or heresy to describe shades of grey. But I think, you know, I'm like 51 now, and I think that, you know, I remember being a student, being involved with the Christian unions at the university and being taught very much black and white worldview. You know, it's like, we're very idealistic, the world's black and white, it's very clear, it's this, it's that and the other. I would have sounded like one of those friends of Job's, firmly committed to ideas that were unchanging throughout generations. But and we even called it God's word, you know, we were clear about what it was, and we were right and everyone else was wrong. But the reality is that over 25 years I've learned that life's not that straightforward. And that actually, like Job, there aren't easy answers, and that actually life isn't as black and white as I used to think it was. And I see that with Christians who either orbit our church or orbit other churches, they want to come at the Bible as a kind of as a rule book, as you said, and as a source of answers for our questions. And I would say that as a pastor, you know, that speaks routinely in front of a group of people, like we call it preaching and teaching, but you know, what we're trying to do is we've moved from trying to bring the answers to trying to just help people ask the questions, because we know that the Bible is a bit like what we see at the end of Job. Job is too small to fully comprehend who God is and the complexity of the universe that he lives in, and the cause and effect. So, and people sometimes look to me as a pastor. Well, surely you know what the cause and effect is of this, and therefore you can provide the answers. And the reality is I can't, because as Job found out, the world is not like that. And what I love about this is this idea that God, in Job, God deconstructs the assumptions of Job. God deconstructs the assumptions of his three friends. And you know, at a time when this idea, if I may just speak about this idea in Christian churches, particularly here in Britain, where, you know, certain Christians are deconstructing their faith, and suddenly for those that aren't deconstructing their faith, you know, this is a term of almost criticism or possibly even abuse, so as if there's something just not okay about deconstructing your faith. And yet what I see here is God deconstructing the assumptions of Job and his three friends, and I'm like, yeah, God does deconstruction as well, you know, or at least the idea of the belief of the Jews was that God does deconstruction, and God critiques the three friends' assumptions as being too simplistic, and that God actually loves Job's wrestling, and I really like that, because you know, people do come to me wanting straightforward answers, black and white theology. And actually, over the years of preaching and teaching in our church, actually what we've been doing, what I've been doing, is wrestling with what it says in the Bible, with the reality of life as I see it, and experience it. And I feel, to some extent, I feel a bit affirmed in that now, because I feel like, you know, life is grey, life is shades of grey, and life is difficult. And actually, if we aren't struggling and wrestling with it, then we're probably not really in the place that God wants us to be.
That's really interesting. I wonder how helpful the book of Job is. The characters, particularly in Job, might be to reflect on how we've handled certain sorts of conversations and things in the past, particularly when we feel like we've maybe been too much like Job's friends and thinking that we've dispensed wisdom and that we've sussed things out, and then it becomes abundantly clear that we haven't. How helpful is that to you, Owen, to think about things that you might specifically do differently now if someone, say, presents themselves in a difficult situation, they're suffering and wants some advice?
Well, I think there are many disadvantages to getting older, i.e. your hair grows grey, and in my case starts to fall out, and maybe you can't run a 10K as quick as you used to. But the reality is, for me, is that I do think there are some benefits as well, and I think it's just living life. And I watch what's going on with Job here, and it reminds me of getting older. It reminds me that you start to work out that life isn't as fair as you thought it was, and life's not so black and white as perhaps you wish it was, and I think that for me, if I'm talking to someone that is suffering and going through difficult times, you know, I was talking to someone just this morning about some difficulties that they're going through, trying to find easy answers and trying to placate them with easy answers is just not helpful. And so as a pastor, I think that it's really important that we don't try and answer people's questions too much, but we just sit with them in the midst of their questions, and also in the midst of their suffering, and just walk with them through it, because you just know that life's experiences have taught you that there are no easy answers to the questions of suffering. And so, you know, we find ourselves in that place where what is our job as human beings, you know, what is our responsibility to one another? I think what's our responsibility is to simply walk through and be present with people in their sufferings, as we would hope they would be present with us. And in the hopes that they will find some sense of solace and peace within the time frame and within their emotional frame of reference, because everyone's different and everyone's going to experience that in different ways. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
I think so, yeah. I think what I'm hearing you saying is that rather than do transactions with people, do business, if you like, and deal with, let's understand this, let's remedy that, you need to do that, blah, 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 because, you know, we can dispense some wisdom here because we can really understand everything that's going on. What I'm hearing is you say you'd rather do relationships. We'd rather build relationships with people in which people can accommodate a lot of not knowing what's going on or not knowing why things are happening. Mm. And that sounds very sensible to me. I mean, that sounds sensible in human relationships. It also sounds like it reflects what's going on with God and Job. The thing that strikes me about how God shows up and deals with Job is that he doesn't answer the why. He shows a lot about the what he's doing and asks a lot about, you know, how well Job understands. And in a sense, we take that as a rebuke. You know, it feels like a slap down. But in another sense, I'm struck by the fact that this story is able to be told, right? That it's not such a mystery, that there is actually some benefit for Job in engaging with God, and God wants to engage with him. That there's benefit for us in engaging with God, and God wants to engage with us. It's just not always going to be on that transactional, here, let me explain everything, here's how it all works by the rule book way. Actually, the more important thing is to build the relationship. So it's not the contrast with Job's friends is Job's friends wanted to say, well, we've mastered the why everything happens, so we can explain it, and they hadn't. The contrast with the Sumerian story, I think, is also there, but it's a different contrast. In that other story, there was a transaction where if you suffered enough and went to God, God would then dispense mercy. And this is not that either. It's a non-transactional resolution, but it is a resolution. It's very much an increase of God's blessing as relationship deepens, and that's what God wants to happen. I wonder how much I kind of apply that, though. I guess I'm facing the next few years of growing as a dad and wanting to get better as a dad in a time where my son will change from being kind of predictable in one way, because he's quite young, not a teenager yet, to being unpredictable. Who will I want to be? Will I want to be the source of wisdom who explains everything? Yeah, I'm really tempted. I would like that to roll with, like, I would like that. Or am I comfy being, would it be better for me to be the relational, the deepening relational source of this is who we are together? I don't know. I'm sounding uncertain about that because I just don't actually know what that means, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'm just getting the sense of that's where the life is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is, isn't it? That is where the life is. And I think with this story of Job, I think that what it reminds me of, and I think this is important because I think it informs our thinking for those of us who are trying to orientate our lives around Jesus Christ and who are very familiar with the Bible, and also perhaps those of us who have been told, you know, for years and years and years that this book has got all the answers. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had someone say that to you. You know, the answers to life are in here. This is the book of life. You know, you're going to have all the answers in there. I'm like, well, there may be answers, but they're not going to come through a transaction. That's what you're saying. Actually, if anything, maybe this is a source of life, but it's a source of relationship with God. And it actually doesn't have all the answers. Like, it doesn't have all the answers to the difficult questions we have as a society, but it does actually introduce you to a person who we recognize in Jesus, who we can relate to, who provides us with a relationship. And let's be honest, it's more a presence than it is a transaction, right? It's more,
yes.
You know, like I was saying earlier on, you're like, rather than provide the answers. Jesus doesn't provide the answers to me, but I do sense his presence. I do sense the presence of God, and it's the presence of God in me on a constant basis, day in, day out. And I think for me, it's about God's presence with me in the circumstances of my life. That I sense, I mean, you know, you could say I'm just choosing to sense, but I'm sensing a peace and a security and a comfort in that. And I suppose that's what you're saying about yourself as a dad. Do you want to be a presence in your son's life, or do you just want to be the source of answers, like an encyclopedia? And I think you probably want the former, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that sounds like an aspiration sometimes, though, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because it's hard to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to be present.
Yeah.
Even if you're there physically.
That's what I mean. Yeah. We can be sat around the table and in our own worlds.
Yeah.
And really being present and really understanding and really wanting to understand and listen and deepen relationship, I think is a massive effort. But here we are. That's isn't that what we're here for?
Absolutely.
So on that note, I think I feel inspired to stop recording a podcast and go see how my son's doing.
That sounds like a good idea.
Just before we go, though, next week we're going to be diving into the book of Joshua as we resume the narrative of the beginning of the Old Testament. We've done the first four books, which covers pretty much most of the story. We've actually left one for later, Deuteronomy. We're going to skip over for now because it's kind of a lot of it is a summary of what had gone before, and we're going to come back to that as a summary later in the year. But Joshua is going to take us into interesting new territory and closer to Israel starting to look like a nation with rules and with its growing understanding of who God was and what God wanted them to do. So we'll see how that grows as we listen next week.
Enjoy that. See you next week.
Bye.